From Paul's house and Storm's house, it's Paul and Storm talk about some stuff for 5 to 10 minutes, on average.
How you doing today?
Bonjour, mon ami. I am Paul.
I am Storm.
That was horrible. And we're going to talk about some stuff for 5 to 10 minutes.
On average. Today is Monday evening, March 23rd, 2009.
And this is show 033. This is our second attempt. We thought Storm's computer wasn't recording earlier, but in fact it was, but I had already erased my thing. So that's okay, because that one sucked. This one's going to be awesome.
Did. It's already 5 times awesome.
But the point that I was making in the previous attempt was that tonight may well be only 5 to 10 minutes, because we don't have a lot to talk about right now.
Well, I've got some things here, but
okay,
you know,
I'm sure we'll find a way to waste some of your time, but
we're just going to kick it around. We're going to kick around the monkey ball a little bit and see what happens.
So let's do the whole big board crap.
Not a lot happened in there. 142 minions, which is exactly as many as last week.
Man, the minions are flatlining.
Yeah, we need to put more funding into the recruiting efforts, or start offering toasters or something.
Yeah.
We are discontinuing the tracking of the free money fund, formerly known as the server fund, because it just seems sort of unseemly.
It does. It was unseemly before, but now it is especially so.
We still want your money, but we want you to like us even more than that. So.
That's right.
Whedon Watch, no additional progress. McCartney Watch, same amount of no additional progress. Poochie Corner, thank you to everybody who sent in pie charts to describe their personalities in terms of the Scooby-Doo characters or other characters.
If you don't know what we're talking about, that was what we discussed in the last podcast. Go listen to it and then come back to this point.
Some people chose, say, MASH, how much am I Radar, how much am I Hawkeye.
Mm-hmm.
I believe someone did turn in Friends. There were some really, really clever ones. If you go to, don't worry about that. You're here to listen to us now.
That's right.
Okay, I have a little menu of possible subjects, some of which maybe 3 seconds of discussion, some of which may become the bases of new civilizations. We don't know.
There's no telling.
Okay, here they are.
Okay, I cannot wait. I am all a Twitter.
Mr. Mustard.
Mm-hmm. That's from last week, isn't it?
It's carried over from 4 weeks.
Okay.
Why do they do that? The Hershey Kiss incident and portable. Those are the choices.
I'm going to go with the Hershey Kiss incident.
Okay, I think this is a juicy one. There are a lot of little
Should we do another one first then? Should we get Mr. Mustard out of the way?
No. This is organic, and you know, it's like we've got a Ouija board and a divining stick, and they've both pointed at the Hershey Kiss incident.
Mm-hmm.
All right. You know how clowns are supposed to be fun for kids and they're supposed to like them, but they're really actually just scary and creepy to like 99% of children.
Mm-hmm.
And the 1% that like them will grow up to be killers or something.
Yeah.
Well, you can dispute whether or not they're actually supposed to appeal to kids. All right. But the fact is they scare kids, right?
Yeah.
Okay. We've established that. There are other things that scare children that are supposed to be good for them or mm-hmm. amusing. And I have an anecdote of my own, which scars me to this day. I'm sorry. Was that boring?
No, I'm listening.
I thought that was a big nasty yawn. Okay.
It was, but I was trying to stifle it because it's not because you're boring, but it's because I'm tired. Okay. Otherwise, I would have gone like, hey, I know it's fascinating story. Let's hear what you got to say.
All right. You live near Hershey Park.
I
mean, more than most people in the world.
Relatively, yes. I'm in the same state.
Right. And so you know that they have everything's themed about chocolate, and
yeah.
I guess because they have to compete with Disney World, even though they're not in the same geographic area, they are trying to draw some of the same people.
Mm-hmm.
They do a lot of the same things, including themed characters.
Yes.
Now, Disney World and Disneyland, it's in Disney Town and Village, in Disney Fiefdom, it's very easy for them to decide what the characters are going to be and what they're going to look like.
Because the characters already exist.
Exactly.
In Disney products.
You know, you can have Mickey Mouse in a tuxedo, or you can have him in overalls. It doesn't matter. You still have that basic Mickey Mouse that you have to work with.
You've got the blueprint.
If you're Hershey, what do you have?
Right.
You have candy.
Yeah.
And just having candy isn't very interesting, you know.
I mean, it's nice, but yeah, from a character-growing standpoint, it's not a very ripe vine to pick from.
And I suppose there would be a couple of routes you could go. You could either just develop characters that aren't candy, that maybe it's a cow that really likes candy.
Yeah.
Or
like a guy in a windowless van who goes driving around offering it to...
That's a guy who really likes candy.
My daughter, by the way, has finished cleaning her room, and she's being praised by my wife for having done a good job.
Is she
In case you can hear that in the background, in case you heard some woman saying, "That is super." She is not speaking about me. She's speaking about my daughter.
Oh, you're super too.
Well, I know, but not...
Oh, come on. Everybody out there, don't you think Paul's super? He's super duper.
Okay, I'm just fishing for compliments.
You deserve them. All right.
Thanks. As illustrated by the van man, not necessarily a great way to go.
Right, you're taking a big risk.
Yeah.
So the other option, which arguably less creative but certainly effective, is to peopleify your candy.
Mm-hmm.
Tack a mouth on there, you know, a smile.
Some stubby legs.
Yep. And send them out there.
Yep.
This is what they have done at Hershey Park.
It is indeed.
And when I was maybe 6 or 7 years old, my folks took me there. And the first thing we ran into when we came into the park was this Hershey Kiss with legs and arms. And I remember thinking, that's not right.
Creeped you the fuck out?
Yeah, and worse than that, my parents just thought that was the greatest thing. And, oh, boy, here comes the Kiss woman. Oh, isn't that great? Go.
I see disaster on the horizon.
And I kept my shit together at first.
Uh-huh. At first.
My sister and I, you know, went and walked up to the Kiss while my mom had the, you know, 110 film camera, the one with the flash bulbs that went and had the smoke that came out anyway.
Yep. You had to get under a cloak.
Right. My mom actually had to put on a handlebar mustache in order to operate the camera.
She ran the daguerreotype.
She did. She had the tinotype already. You know, for a change, it's 2 minutes before the 10-minute mark.
How about that? Okay. So a Kiss lady is approaching. Your parents think it's awesome. You're just trying to not lose your shit.
Right. And so far, I'm not losing my shit. And as the distance closes between my sister and I and the Kiss woman monster, she keeps getting bigger, you know.
Yeah.
I was a big kid for my age, but I was still kid-sized.
Yeah.
So here's this towering... tin foily smiling thing, and I was still doing okay until we turned around to take a picture with the camera, and I'm assuming it was a woman in the costume put her hand on my shoulder. It's not a no zone. I wasn't like ooged out that way, but I guess I had bought into the idea that this was a piece of chocolate that had been brought to life.
Mm-hmm. And was now going to wreak its revenge on you for all the chocolate you had eaten?
Well, I didn't know what was going to happen, but I did know that the hand on my shoulder was, like, warm and soft. Like a person, but it was not a person. And I guess I started to freak out. I didn't like start running around in circles shrieking or anything.
Just urinating madly about.
Yeah, but I think I did run away once. Uh-huh. And I think I hurt the Kiss woman's feelings.
Aw.
But so that's my story. So we have clowns and we have anthropomorphized chocolate.
Uh-huh.
Is there anything that you recall that is something that, as either as a kid yourself or you've observed with your children, that is set out there for kids but really has no business being out there for kids?
Freaked out isn't the right word, but it was a combination of weirded out and depressed. My parents took me a very long time ago to some zoo in New York when I was, God, at this point, must have been five, maybe. And we ended up at the gorilla house. And if you think gorilla houses are depressing now, imagine a gorilla house in, like, Schenectady, New York, or wherever the hell we were in 1975.
Back when they kept them chained to the walls.
Yeah, back when it was basically forced labor.
Right.
They would break rocks at night while you weren't watching. And it was just, the gorillas were all, as they always are at zoos, just sitting around, bummed out, wishing they were in the jungle. And they looked like smelly, angry old men. And something about that just clicked with me. And like I say, it's not like I got freaked out and like a panic attack or anything. I think I just didn't know how to process that degree of depression.
Yeah.
When I was that little, and I had to get out of there.
Well, you're a very empathetic child.
I was always a very empathetic child.
That actually reminds me of, again, we're like dating ourselves left and right on this one.
Mm-hmm.
But like museums, like now you go to a children's museum and it's all bright and there's things to pull and touch and prod and smell.
Mm-hmm. And do.
Right, and bump against and whatever. And in our day, I remember the museums were more like, you know, the old hunting societies from 19th century in the England.
Yeah.
You know, you had to like put a pith helmet on and everything.
Old
was
English
under
gentlemen
glass.
Everywhere.
Right.
Nothing but tea to drink.
Yep. And there were like walls with nothing but bugs with pins stuck through them.
Yeah, that was pretty much every museum. There was like one big stuffed elephant, a thing of dinosaur bones, and then just thousands and thousands of bugs on the wall stuck through pins.
Yeah, and nothing moved or talked to you. And if it did,
nope.
You know, you'd be right to be concerned.
It was vaguely forbidding and brown and dark.
And I remember that the typed signs next to exhibits. All right, this is getting all weird. This is getting weird.
Yeah, I think we're working out some issues at this point.
Okay, let's jump tracks.
All right, give me Mr. Mustard.
All right, Mr. Mustard is really quick. Mr.
Okay.
Mustard is simply a product that I used to love. That it was mustard, and it was hot mustard, and it came in this weird shaped jar. It was sort of a tapered cylinder thing.
Uh-huh.
And Mr. Mustard himself,
like,
was
thinner on the top or thinner at the bottom?
Thinner on the top.
That would have been cool if it was thinner on the bottom. It was always tipping over.
Originally it was, and they found that the stores complained that there was mustard all over their aisles, and they changed it.
So you said Mr. Mustard was
a very spicy mustard, and there was a little character on the label that was Mr. Mustard, and he had a little chef's hat, kind of like El Marco, you know?
Yep.
Which I think is brilliant. You know, what is a magic marker is a magic marker is a magic marker. So what? But you call it El Marco.
Yeah, suddenly you got adventure.
Right, and especially if you put on like a Zorro mask and hat on the marker itself, then that's the one to buy, I tell you that.
Yeah.
Anyway, I miss Mr. Mustard, and it could be a figment of my imagination at this point, although it's been established that Farrell's Ice Cream House is real. So
that's right.
So can be Mr. Mustard. That's all
That's
for Mr.
Right.
Mustard.
Well, I bet you the interwebs have the answer for you.
Batomt's deli mustard, also a quality mustard.
Uh-huh. Lovely.
Just FYI.
Sure. What other topics did we have?
Last one I had written down is portable.
Oh, let's go with that for 500, Alex.
All right. As you may know, both Paul and I like to do the Twitterses.
Yes, we do.
By the way, if you aren't currently signed up for our Twittering feed, you should if you enjoy this, because it's like this, but 140 characters at a time, and it's worth finding out what Twitter is.
It's much pithier.
Right. And to follow a lot of the clever people that we like to follow as
well. Yes.
Anyway.
And I will say, because I know where you're going with this, that there was a long time where I have a phone that I can do texting on. It's got a slide-out keyboard and stuff, and I had a texting plan. And so not to say that I was solely responsible for our Twitter, but I generally had more access to it. And there was a very long time where lots of people said, does Storm ever Twitter? Does he even know what the internet is? But you have really been leading the charge lately and come back with a vengeance on the Twitter feed.
Now the world just can't shut me up.
That's right. We've made a terrible mistake.
I wouldn't say that's what's driving me entirely to want to get a super fun phone, but it's like a killer app, a reason that drives it.
Yep.
And the question is, right now there are two platforms that are quite good at this point for doing many things: the iPhone, and if you want to call it the Google phone or the G1. Call it the Google phone, since a lot of other manufacturers are going to start making phones for the Google Android platform.
Right.
And it's a question of timing. How long to hold out? How important is the slide-out keyboard? And
right.
I was always the tough skins kid growing up.
Yep.
Like, we always, our family, we always had everything that we needed, but we very rarely got the frills.
Mm-hmm.
So that served me well, I believe, into adulthood in having frugal habits. But, you know, how much do I really need it? But like all the cool kids are out there with their iPhones on Foursquare trading, you know, badges or whatever it is you do with Foursquare. Because I don't know, because I don't have a cool phone.
You're
anyway,
not one of the cool kids.
So the dilemma continues in when and what for a portable communication device.
Are you asking for recommendations?
Yeah, or if anybody has inside information about a product coming up, you know, I go to Gizmodo and Engadget and all these other sites to keep up on the latest. But and I do want to start some shit. I want to see people slamming one platform or the other, because
can't wait to see the fun inter-platform rivalries going on.
But no, I really do want some good advice and to know, is it time to pull the trigger, or is it worth waiting a little more?
Mm-hmm.
And that's all I got.
Well, there you go. I, on the other hand, am okay for the time being with my little Sprint rumor, although I'm sure within the next year and a half, I will bite the bullet and grab me a smartphone PDA super awesome communicator.
Well, that's the other part of the equation, is we're both on the same network, which serves us well, since, you know, maybe not as much as we used to, but talk to each other on the cell phone.
Like now. Well, since we're not in the same city. Yeah, we do a lot of yammering to each other.
So, you know, we'll have to kind of look at the platforms and kind of see.
Yep.
But,
okay, well, we managed to fill roughly 18 and a half, 19 minutes with crap tonight. I'm proud of us.
I feel good about it. You know, I'm glad that that we got to talk about Mr. Mustard.
And, yeah, well, it's always a good night when you get to talk about Mr. Mustard.
Well, I think that's the first phrase that qualifies as a front runner.
It was a little lengthy, podcast. But maybe if I trim it down a bit.
All right. Well, look us up on the web at paulandstorm.com. Join our Twitter feed.
I was just going to say, we got some shows coming up.
Yep.
Let's see. We are at the Diamond Joe Casino in Dubuque, Iowa on Wednesday, April 8th. Then we are at the 4th Street Theater in Des Moines on Thursday the 9th. And then the 10th and 11th, we're at Penguins Comedy Club in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. Then on the 17th, we're going to be at Tanner's in Kimberly, Wisconsin. And finally, the 23rd and 24th of April, we are going to be at the Lula Lounge. Lula Lounge in Toronto with Jonathan Colton.
And don't forget about this Friday.
Awesome. What's that?
This Friday night.
Oh, of course, yes. This Friday, we're at Symphony Space with Jonathan at in New York, New York, as Mrs. Merv Mendenhall used to say. First person who responds with the correct description of who Mrs. Merv Mendenhall is wins some sort of prize. I don't know if it's going to be a physical prize, a commendation from me, something. But there it is. There's your challenge, listeners. But lots of other good things coming up, including probable to almost definite shows in May in Dallas and San Diego, and a definite show at Largo in Los Angeles. That's all coming up in May.
So until we're in your town or we otherwise communicate with you, I'm Storm.
And I am Paul.
And we have been talking about some stuff for 5 to 10 minutes.
On average. Yeah.
Go do things.
Me.